listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. Lisa Randall is lecturing tonight at UC Davis. She's talking on particle theory, and if you are a follower of the Large Hadron Collider, or you simply have a fascination with the laws of physics and what we are learning about in the life we live in, you are already a follower of Lisa Randall's. Her new book is Knocking on Heaven's Door, and she is with us by phone now from Davis. Hello, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to
Insight. I'm actually still in Berkeley.
Oh, you are?
In Davis later today.
Oh, okay.
I'll be in Davis later today giving my lecture.
I know you're on the fast track. You're on the move. I'd like you to give us the latest news from the Large Hadron Collider, but I think we need to start with what it is and maybe where it is and what's happening in it.
Well, there's a lot to say. First of all, it's a giant accelerator. Protons get accelerated around a big ring, 27 kilometers in circumference. And the idea is to get very high energy protons going. So it's taking place at an organization called CERN, which is a European organization that does particle physics. And it's near Geneva. It's located near Geneva. So it's a giant underground tunnel near Geneva. It's near the French-Swiss border. It actually goes through both France and Switzerland. And what happens is protons collide at enormously high energy. And when they do so, because E equals mc squared, as Einstein taught us, mm-hmm. energy is related to mass, you can make particles that haven't been made before. And so the hope is to go to really high energies and see new particles. And we're not just looking for new particles like the Higgs bosons that some of your listeners might have heard of, but we're really looking for what are the underlying physical laws. What is it that holds it all together? How does it all tie together? And by looking at inner structure, I mean, on the one hand, it's very complicated physics. On the other hand, you're really looking for the simplest elements where the laws become simple enough that you can determine what's going on. There's actually another type of experiment going on too, though, because in addition to having a lot of energy, you have a lot of collisions, a lot of interactions. And that means that you can see things that happen only with very low probability. And doing that, you can actually learn an enormous amount about the structure of what we call the standard model that describes the stuff we know about quarks and leptons and forces that hold them together, but also how they interact.
So, Lisa, you mentioned Higgs boson, which is also called, I guess, the God particle. And I want to get to that in a moment.
As I joke in my book, Knocking on Heaven's Door, like we shouldn't take the name of the Higgs boson in vain. It's a funny name.
I love all the connections there. Plus, you obviously love Bob Dylan because and the music. But before we get there, this is a very kindergarten version of it. But as I have learned and read and followed, is it fair to say this is like watermelons going round and round a big racetrack, and you're trying to smash the watermelons into each other, but then even more so, you're trying to smash the seeds into each other and see what happens?
Okay, so this is true for all the collisions. This has nothing to do with the Higgs boson in particular. I mean, I actually use a beanbag analogy in a way. Because what's going on is that you're in some sense, the proton is a big fluffy object. And in it, it has these hard components, these inner hard components, the beans in a beanbag. So those would be, and when you get to high enough energies, when you collide together, what you're really colliding together are these components. What are these components? Well, they're quarks. We call them the up and down quark inside the proton. And there's actually a little bit of virtual stuff because of quantum mechanics. And it's actually the gluons that hold it together are there too. So there are individual particles that you probe when you get to the high energies. So there's sort of what we call the quarks that carry the charge, we call them valence quarks. So that would be inside a proton, there would be two up quarks and a down quark. But there's also a sea of virtual particles. And so when you collide these together, you get all sorts of interesting events involving what's inside the proton. Because you don't get the whole proton itself to collide at these high energies. You're really seeing the individual elements inside colliding.
So for those who are following this detail by detail and fascinated by it, there was news about this God particle in December, and I'd like you to tell us what's most current in the experiments.
Well, what's really most current is that they're up and running again, so there'll be at least four times the amount of data this year. What we saw in December, or what I should say, I do theory, what the experimenters saw, were hints hints that the Higgs boson could be there. They're very strong hints. They seem to all be consistent with a similar mass, a very interesting value for the mass, but they're all consistent with a similar mass for this particle. We know what its properties would be if it is the simplest Higgs boson. And let me just backtrack to say that the Higgs boson is a particle associated with how other elementary particles and itself acquire mass. Without the Higgs mechanism, not the Higgs boson, but the Higgs mechanism, particles would be massless. They wouldn't have mass. There would be no sensible theory of particle masses. Now, of course, they do have masses. So you need this mechanism which allows particles to have their mass. It's sort of like a fluid of charge that the vacuum state takes and that gives particles their masses. But we don't yet know that this mechanism is correct. We're looking for an experimental sign that it's right. And that experimental sign could be this particle called the Higgs boson. It could turn out to be something else, but in the simplest implementation, it's a Higgs boson. So we know a lot about it because we know it's associated with particles getting their mass. Therefore, its biggest interactions will be with heavier particles, for example. And that means that we know exactly how many times it should be produced. We know exactly what it should decay into. So experimenters have gone and looked at these various decay possibilities and seen strong indications that it can be there. Now, of course, when you have these events, they're very messy. There could be just standard model stuff that makes it look like there's a Higgs boson there. So we're not going to say with certainty that we found it until we really have stronger evidence. And that stronger evidence could come this year. We could actually know by the end of the year whether or not this Higgs boson is there.
Oh, well, that's a little news headline. And I have read you saying over and over about how this proton smashing is so messy. I think that's what gave me the idea of watermelons in my head. But I have just learned a lot.
Watermelons is not a bad example. That is not a bad example. Actually, maybe I'll use that in the future.
I'm speaking with physicists.
Because watermelons are so heavy, it's hard to imagine them being accelerated.
Well, when you said a proton's fluffy, that gave me an entirely different picture. I feel like I'm learning from you on both a beginning and an advanced level of science. And we're talking with physicist Lisa Randall, who has a public lecture this evening at 8 o'clock at UC Davis. And we just talked about science class. Lisa, I think I read somewhere that you went to Stuyvesant High School in New York, and you had, was your classmate Brian Greene?
Yeah, we were both in the same class.
So that's Brian right. Greene is a prominent string theorist, and both of you are changing the world in science. What kind of science teacher did you have? What was happening at that high school that was so magical for both of you?
Well, you know, I mean, and the teachers were great, and I don't want to take away from the teachers, but one thing you have there is you have some of the best students in New York City. I mean, and I just want to emphasize it because it's a public school that I lived in Queens. I was able to get there by public transportation. And it's a big deal to have a school that has very high standards, it really was some of the best students in New York City. You took a test to get in. So you have this intensity of really strong students, you know, the best students in math. I mean, there's private schools too, and there's a couple of other schools, but really it's some of the best students in New York. And I think that makes as much of a difference as anything. On top of that, we had an odd curriculum where we actually had physics in sophomore year and then chemistry the following year. So we got introduced to physics. Brian had actually started as a freshman. I started as a sophomore coming from Queens. And so the first year I was there, I was taking physics. And I think that's I think that's important that we just had science education because that's not always there actually.
Yeah. And that
and
is.
So, and the teacher, and we did have a good science, a good physics teacher.
That is the reverse of how it is out here. Oh, did you just say his name?
Mr. Baumel was our physics teacher.
Oh, it's always good to give them credit, isn't it? How about a short, in our last minute or so here, a short preview of what your talk will be tonight at UC Davis?
Well, I'm going to cover a lot of the material that I would say a fraction of the material that I cover in my book, Knock and Heaven's Door, which is really about two things. It's one, it's about the physics happening today. The Large Hadron Collider, et cetera, that you've talked about, and sort of my role as a theorist in doing it and what's involved there, but also the nature of science, what goes into it. I'll have only some time to talk about that, but I'll probably talk about one of the themes that goes into how science evolves, the theme of scale, how ideas in science build upon each other, how we get
quantum mechanics and Newtonian mechanics, and they're still both right, and what that means, and just how we're advancing today in that context. So there's a lot of things that I'd love to talk about that I cover, creativity and risk and all that, but probably those will be the ones I'll focus on.
And I'm going to invite you to come back and join us again on Insight. It was delightful to have you with us, Lisa Randall, and we'll catch you on the next pass through California, okay?
Thank you so much. It was really fun.
Thank you. You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio.